Okay, guys, I've got an awesome recommendation for you. I've been looking for a smart, wearable piece of tech that I can use for fitness and health tracking and all that everyday use, but also something that's really great when I'm outdoors, having fun, going on adventures. And I have found it. It's called Amazfit. You might not have heard of them. I actually hadn't, but 42 million users have, so it's really well established. They make a ton of different smartwatches and bands and other stuff. But the watch I've been testing out is part of their adventure series, and it's called the Amazfit T-Rex 3. And I'm going to get into the tech stuff in a minute, but I just want to say it looks so cool. Even my missus has said to me, "That's a cool looking watch," and she knows what she's talking about, and I don't get those kind of compliments every day. But onto the nitty gritty stuff, when it comes to outdoor sports and adventure, it's got it all. It can track hiking, skiing, biking, running. It's got free diving. That's how much it covers, 170 sport modes and all. It's got all the usual health stuff, but check this out. The battery life is ridiculous. I've been wearing it nonstop for 10 days and haven't had to recharge it once. So it's perfect for adventure stuff, for traveling. I absolutely love it. Highly recommend it. So if you want to find out more, go to amazfit.com/armchair. And that's one word, A-M-A-Z-F-I-T. And when you get there, you're going to get 15% off your order. That's massive. So that website again is amazfit.com/armchair. The Amazfit T-Rex 3 is more than just a smartwatch. It's your personal guide to exploration, discovery, and the thrill of the unknown.
Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Hey guys, welcome to Armchair Explorer. My name's Aaron Miller. I'm a travel writer and your host. And today's episode is the second of this month's immersion episodes. These are our on-location documentaries recorded in the field in the most immersive way we can, and they're designed to give you a glimpse of what it's like to be there for real. And today we're going to the rodeo. Now, even if you don't think this is your thing, I think after you listen to it, it might just be. Brian Thacker is the presenter for this one, and you might remember him from a few other episodes he's done for us. He is an Aussie. He's a proper good laugh to travel with. And let me tell you, when you send an Aussie to a rodeo, chaos ensues. So this is part of our series on South Dakota. You might remember previous episodes like Legends in Stone, the fall and rise of the buffalo. That's awesome. That's about the buffalo roundup. And I think that is some of the most immersive stuff we've done. So go and check that out. Also Black Hills and Deadwood. And later this year, we're going to go to the Badlands and we're going to do lots of other crazy stuff. We're going to dress up as Civil War soldiers and stay in a haunted hospital. You got to hear that one. That is funny. If only to hear Brian Thacker terrified. So South Dakota's a really cool place. It might not be first on your list, but that's what these documentaries are about in many ways, taking you to places a little off the beaten track that we think are awesome. So this is the Black Hills Stock Show and Rodeo in Rapid City. It's held at the end of January every year. And if you enjoy it, you can go too, because that's also what these episodes are about. You can follow in our footsteps or just use it as inspiration to plan your next cowboy adventure. So I'm going to pass the mic over now to my friend, Mr. Brian Thacker. Giddy up, the show's about to begin.
What do you think South Dakota's official state sport is? Football? Basketball? Maybe hockey? No, on most weekends in summer, you'll find South Dakotans flocking to watch people cowboy up and ride in the rodeo. It was designated the official state sport in 2003. But here, rodeo is a way of life. Roaming herds of buffalo, the Wild West, mountains, monuments, dinosaurs and pioneers. Welcome to South Dakota, the land of infinite variety. I'm Brian Thacker, I'm a travel writer, and this is episode 5, The Greatest Show in the West.
It's our state sport. It really encompasses the Western heritage that we try to hold on to in South Dakota, and we really take a lot of pride in that.
This is John Kaiser, the Assistant General Manager of the Black Hills Stock Show and Rodeo. We met John in the stable surrounded by some of the finest and fittest horses I'd ever seen.
This is the stuff that we incorporate in our daily lives. I mean, these guys that are going to be in the arena competing, they're the best cowboys that are in the world. I mean, I'm not even kidding you. As long as they're on the back of a horse with a rope working cattle, there's nobody better. And it's not just a sport. It's not just a game really to them. It's what they do every day. And so I think that's what separates us from maybe some other states. It's a lifestyle. It's not just a sport. It's not just an activity. It's not just a ranch rodeo. You know, it's what we breathe. To win the Black Hills Stock Show Ranch Rodeo is a big deal. It is a really big deal because we are one of the best ranch rodeos in the country. So for you to come in here and whittle it down from 40 to 50 teams and be the last one standing, I mean, that's a lot you can hang your hat on.
Hello, Rapid City.
300,000 people from all over the world descend on Rapid City for the Black Hills Stock Show and Rodeo to watch over 120 different events, including shearing, cattle auctions, and...
Come back. Dad, lie down. Wait.
These simple commands are used by handlers in sheepdog trials, where just one dog will drive a herd of sheep into a tiny pen, all in just a few minutes.
What if I cuss?
Oh, that's no, wonderful. That's totally.
That's even better.
I mean, if the judge hears that, then they're going to disqualify me.
Oh, no.
This is my producer, Jason, attaching a microphone to Linda Lulius. Linda's competing in today's trials with two of her dogs.
It's a natural born instinct in them to want to herd. Some dogs are head dogs, some dogs are drive dogs, and Border Collie, I think, just brings it all into a perfect world. You have a little bit of both. They have an unlimited amount of energy, it seems. And if you don't find a outlet for them, for that energy, then they're going to create their own. They can tear up furniture, they can dig holes to China. But it really, all it takes is an interaction and an activity that stimulates their body and their brain. And they're fabulous dogs.
So how long have you been doing this?
I actually got my first Border Collie in 2016. She was a washout, and she wasn't a trial dog, but it gave me the experience of having a partner in the dog. And I got hooked. I now own her plus three more, and I trial two of them. So I actually keep sheep at my house to train with. And I teach my dogs directional flanks, both voice and whistle. And I use those to guide the sheep through a course. So I practice that at home, and then you come to town and see how they handle the pressure of an audience and music and new places and new sounds.
And is it very competitive?
Quite competitive. I think it's important to not lose track of why we do it to begin with, which is the partnership with our dogs and to accomplish work that we practically do at home.
We follow Linda to the parking lot to get Gil ready. Both dogs were resting up in the back of her car.
Hello.
This is Gil. He is a 4-year-old male. And this is Jessie, a 2-year-old female. This one's rather insecure dog, so she likes to hug tight and put her feet on you and lick on you. So her manners need some work. This is a nursery age dog here. And her first trial was a year ago here at this trial. Yes.
They're very excited about it.
She just loves being with people.
Oh.
Yeah. This is hugging. She's just a ball of energy the whole time. And when I say look, her whole demeanor changes. And she will stand at attention and I tell her a direction to go. But prior to that, she's like the class clown. This one here is overzealous about it. He's like, I need to be in front, I need to be in lead.
As we talk, both dogs are nuzzling Linda. They can't get enough affection.
They don't have to win to have my full attention. These are partners and companions, and that is not conditioned upon their success at a trial. They are special to me. I have a very hard time parting with any dog. I have sold a couple of dogs, but it's a very difficult decision for me to make because I give them a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, and they obviously give a lot back. Look at that, sweetie.
I hate it when she does that. But I put up with it because she does work so hard for me. This little dog will give me everything she can.
Now firmly on Team Linda, we make our way back inside, hoping for a front row seat in the grandstand. But there's already thousands of people ready and waiting, so we climb high into the crowd to cheer Linda on.
Good boy. He's a good dog.
We're gonna welcome out now Linda Lewis, Gill, a 4-year-old male. This is Linda and Gill.
Come back.
I have to be really quiet here. It's amazing how silent it is. Linda is out there. There's 3 sheep.
Come. Lie down. Lie down.
Those sheep aren't being very cooperative.
Lie down. Lie down.
It's a standoff as the dogs slowly approach the small herd.
So close.
Wig.
Don't let them get anywhere.
Lie down. Get off. Come by.
Oh.
Lie down.
Oh, no. We got a loose one.
Lie
back
down.
In. Back in.
It's a real teamwork effort. Linda is also blocking with her body and a cane to help coax the sheep into the pen.
They really don't want to. There we go.
Lie down. Lie down. Lie down.
Oh, there's one.
This is very tense. I didn't know any of the rules and I wasn't sure what to expect. But you are immediately drawn in. It's amazing. The crowd is so quiet. You can hear every call and every whistle. I'm literally on the edge of my seat as Gil ushers the last few sheep into the pen.
Go, get in, get in, get in.
Lie down.
Oh.
Yes.
Good time. 2:16. Good time.
Ooh, Linda.
That a boy. That a boy, Gil. Good job.
We head outside again to catch up with the successful team.
Hi, Linda.
Hello.
You went well.
He did really good. He should be back in the semifinals.
Oh, exciting. It's such edge of the seat. It was the first time I experienced it, and you're just like cheering. Oh, come on, come on.
The dogs draw people in. It's not the people running them. Yeah. They want the dog to win.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody cheer for the sheep.
Okay, guys, I've got an awesome recommendation for you. I've been looking for a smart, wearable piece of tech that I can use for fitness and health tracking and all that everyday use, but also something that's really great when I'm outdoors, having fun, going on adventures. And I have found it. It's called Amazfit. You might not have heard of them. I actually hadn't, but 42 million users have, so it's really well established. They make a ton of different smartwatches and bands and other stuff. But the watch I've been testing out is part of their adventure series, and it's called the Amazfit T-Rex 3. And I'm going to get into the tech stuff in a minute, but I just want to say it looks so cool. Even my missus has said to me, "That's a cool looking watch," and she knows what she's talking about, and I don't get those kind of compliments every day. But onto the nitty-gritty stuff, when it comes to outdoor sports and adventure, it's got it all. It can track hiking, skiing, biking, running. It's got free diving. That's how much it covers, 170 sport modes and all. It's got all the usual health stuff, but check this out. The battery life is ridiculous. I've been wearing it nonstop for 10 days and haven't had to recharge it once. So it's perfect for adventure stuff, for traveling. I absolutely love it. Highly recommend it. So if you want to find out more, go to amazfit.com/armchair. And that's one word, AMAZFIT. And when you get there, you're going to get 15% off your order. That's massive. So that website again is amazfit.com/armchair. The Amazfit T-Rex 3 is more than just a smartwatch. It's your personal guide to exploration, discovery, and the thrill of the unknown. Hey guys, I want to talk to you about slow fashion. Now, you probably know about slow travel, which is about savoring a place and choosing trips that benefit local communities. Slow fashion, I actually hadn't heard of before until I started chatting with the guys from Doer, who are very generously sponsoring this episode. Thank you guys, you're awesome. And the reason why I'm so excited to be working with them is because Doer make clothes that fit both sides of my lifestyle. At work, I want to wear something that my missus says, dang, you look good in. At play, I want to wear something that's designed for active outdoor fun, that's stretchy and built for that kind of thing. And they do that. Doer is built for doing, and they fix that problem by doing both sides of my life. But they also, and this is where slow fashion comes in, they solve another issue for me, which is sustainability. Doer uses 85% plant-based fibers, which is amazing for the environment. Fast fashion counts for something like 20% of all microplastics in the ocean. So choosing slow fashion, choosing a company like Doer, really does make a difference. So they have got you covered all year round, and they've also got you covered for winter. I know you guys are thinking about that. That's coming up. They got lots of special brands, fireside denim, all-weather denim, lots of stuff designed for outdoor fun in this season. I absolutely love my Doers, and I really do think you will too. So check out Doer's flagship stores in LA or Denver, or go online at shopdoer, that's doer.com/explore. Right now, guys, you're going to get 20% off your first order. That's massive. That is a great deal. So go to shopdoer.com/explore to get that deal, to go and check it out. You're going to love it. So don't wait to get that 20% off. Go now to shopdoer.com/explore.
To see the love between Linda and her dogs and vice versa was truly beautiful. It is a joy to watch. But there is another animal here at the Stock Show that is also very popular with the locals.
Morning,
this is not some strange foreign language. This is the auctioneer at the Angus Auction. We're at the Rapid City Convention Centre to buy a bull. If only we could understand what the auctioneer was saying. But bull auctions are serious business. The record price at auction in the US is $1.51 million. That's not for a herd, that's for one bull. And it only took 6 minutes to sell. And these are seriously big bovines too. Their heaviest ever sold was a whopping 1,107 pounds. Now that is a lot of steak sandwiches. 75. I think I'd actually make a good auctioneer, but not a very good buyer. The bulls look identical to me. So what are the people looking for? I asked the very serious looking buyer behind me.
Oh, the phenotype, genetics, different genetics for their herd, birth weights, performance of the animal, the structure, soundness of the animal.
That still didn't help. So we head to the stalls to talk to a seller. I find one daintily trimming the hair on a massive bull's mane.
These are Charlie bulls that we're going to be selling tomorrow.
This is Tom. He's driven 5 hours from Lake Preston, South Dakota with two of his best.
These bulls will be going to breed. They'll try to cross them with it, like an Angus.
Do you have an indication or a hope of what they will go for?
Most of them will go in that $5,000 to $7,000 range there. So.
And do they have to be good in bed?
Oh, yes. They got to, yep. They do a breeding soundness exam. So, yep. They got to be able to get the job done. They don't want a bull out there that's just out there to eat some grass and hang out for the summer.
We leave the auction for the most eligible bachelor bull and find a collection of worried-looking sheep back in the stadium. These ones aren't getting primped up for sale. They're getting a different kind of grooming.
He's going to leave that on. The judge on the belly should have seen that it was left on there. A shearable length wool, they pick it up on the belly.
But it would be a second cut right now. If
no, it's not a second cut.
Okay.
It's brisket wool left on.
This is Mike Pora, the chief referee here at the sheep shearing national titles. And if you haven't guessed by his accent, he's a fellow Australian. And I'm not really that surprised. The US has around 5 million sheep, while Australia has 75 million sheep. And how's this? Mike has sheared over 800,000 sheep in 20 different countries.
If you can keep the sheep calm, keep it relaxed. Some of them obviously don't like being undressed in public. They do kick a little bit. They'll play up a bit. Some breeds are worse than others. They just want to hurt us. And yeah, but at the end of the day, if they kick, a shearer can go home and say, Literally, I got a kick out of it today. Not many other jobs you can say you get a kick out of it.
The raising and shearing of sheep is one of the world's oldest industries, and there are two disciplines, machine and blade, basically old school and new. Blade shearing, which uses something akin to two butcher knives with a spring between them, has been around since 3500 BC.
I'm going into my 35th year of shearing, so it's almost saying my age. My dad taught me to shear and kind of did it as a living, but then I got into this competitive shearing. It's just something beyond. I mean, you just love the excitement.
This is North American blade shearing champion, Lauren Opstadal.
There's people coming from all over. We've got them from Maine, Vermont, clear Canada, Oregon. I mean, they're all over Texas. So it's kind of drawn a big crowd of shearers in for this competition. So that's kind of cool.
And it's not just bragging rights. You then get the chance to go into the World Championships.
Well, yeah. I think we're right into it. So I'm going to have to go.
All right. Well, we'll see how you go at the end. Watching the hand shearing of the sheep, and just to show how sharp it is, the guy in front of us, he's got blood coming out from his hands where he's slipped and hit his hand. This is seriously, it can be quite dangerous. Someone's finished.
Yeah,
it's our man.
2 minutes in, and Lauren has already finished the first of two sheep.
Fire in there.
And he's on to his second.
You can tell there's some intensity here.
It's not satisfying. Just one.
No. Oh, he's off to the World Championships, I think.
All right, Lauren's done. There you go. Good job, Lauren. How's the ball?
And we have our winner. It's our man. So we're going to go speak to him, see how he went. But I think he'd be pretty happy with that.
You guys are amazing.
Well done.
Hey, congratulations.
Sorry I bailed out on you a little early.
But you'd finished your first one before everyone was even halfway through their second one.
Yeah, and it's just, like I say, it's a race up there. But on the other hand, I got to calm down and just do as clean and smooth a job as you can. There's a lot of nerves that come in there, but that's the reason we love this. I mean, that's why I like it. I mean, it's exciting. I've done this competitions for probably 15 years, and I still feel it. It just gets my heart bumping. I do have two of my sons that are shearing here today. One is going right now, right in the next heat, so that's kind of exciting, carrying on the legacy.
We've seen dedicated dogs herding sheep and blade masters cutting wool. But now, it's time for the main mutton event. In front of me, a rider is getting ready. This rider is tough. You can see a mix of confidence and fear in his eyes. He's dressed for action. His plaid shirt, his fringe chaps flapping over his cowboy boots. As he makes his way into the gate and board his mount, I can see his teeth clenched in anticipation. This rider is 6 years old, and he's riding a bucking sheep. This is mutton busting.
Mom, whose sheep do we ride? Why do they bawl over there? Why do they bawl sheep over there?
I don't know.
This is 6-year-old Creed. He's wearing a big black cowboy hat and has tasseled leather chaps over his jeans. And he's about to jump on the back of a sheep and hold on for dear life.
Mom, did someone pick me up when I ride sheep? If I'm still on?
No, don't fall off.
No.
Yeah, the con will come get you. Don't fall, just stay on top of
it. What do you mean on the horse?
So you're going to hang on and just go, huh?
Ow. Okay. On my neck.
You got everybody?
Right.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Most of you look familiar, so you've done this before. I found it that if your kid is a little bit nervous, it helps to keep them down below until it's their turn. And if your kid is screaming and doesn't want to do it, we're not going to let them do it. Kids, number one rule is to be safe. So be safe out there. Number two rule is to have as much fun as possible. I went and picked the nicest sheep. All they do is they just run super fast. But they're super nice. They've all got nicknames. They're going to be the nicest sheep on the planet. But they're just going to run really fast, okay? So you just got to hold on as hard as you can. Can you guys do that for me?
Are you guys excited?
Yeah.
No, I need to hear you. Are you excited?
Yeah.
All right. All right. Well, we'll take you guys back.
Yeah. Oh, brother.
The 96.
What's that?
The 96.
Ready? Easy peasy compared to
Bronx on Friday, huh?
Wrap all the way around. Hang on.
The gate opens and a sheep bolts out. Creed tightly hugging its neck.
Right. That's it. Go, 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 go.
Creed Howard. 6-year-old Creed Howard.
A couple of the kids before him had been dumped off in seconds, but Creed hangs on until his mount barrels into a herd at the far end of the enclosure.
You're good, you're good, you're good. Come on. Good job.
6-year-old Creed Howie rocking the Mohawk and rocking it to the tune of 91 points.
We stayed till the very end, where Creed was in front until the second last rider pipped him by a solitary point. The winner did have an advantage, though. He had the very cowboy name of Van der Surrey. But it was now time to see some folk who can really ride. It was time for the Ranch Rodeo.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Here's Joe rolling up to the interview on a horse. Now, how cool is that?
This is Team Lakota Funds from Newell, South Dakota, the only Native American team in the competition. But this isn't, as they say, their first rodeo.
Quite a few, actually. Over 10, 15.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And have you made it to the finals or won before?
Yep. I think I've won it twice. Oh, you've won it once.
So guys, I've never won it. I've been in the finals several times.
Exactly. Beautiful. And are those champion buckles I'm seeing all around here?
Yep.
Yeah.
In the rodeo.
Oh, I see. Yeah. When you get a buckle, is that what happens?
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
Ooh, buckle and money.
Saddle here tonight.
Yeah.
Is it a good one?
Yeah, he's got one.
This is the one we won a couple years ago.
Oh, look at that. Oh,
that's gorgeous.
And they're not cheap, are they?
Probably $1,500, I guess. So.
All right.
Very nice. And what about the cash prize?
I think it's a couple thousand, I think, is what we won out of here a couple years ago. So,
if you win, you all get a saddle each?
Yep.
Oh, that's good.
For these guys, the prizes are just a bonus. Rodeo has always been a part of their life.
I own cattle, and my dad used to bareback ride and team rope. Rodeo's always been in our family.
It was time to saddle up and head inside. In the staging area, cowboys on horseback are waiting for their turn, wearing shimmering chaps, giant silver belt buckles, wide-brimmed cowboy hats, and well-worn bandanas. They look straight out of a Western movie. But they're the real deal, and not just for rodeo riding. These are full-time ranch hands who compete for fun, and of course for bragging rights.
This is Jesse, Joe, Elliot, and Tegan.
Shorten up on your end, it's pretty good.
The boys for Team 33. We're ready. Lagoon Funds 33.
You guys lead if you want.
The boys in blue.
Go!
Back in tech.
The skill of these riders is just incredible. At full gallop, they are stopping and turning on a dime. Two of the riders are chasing steers, and only seconds after the steers are released, they've lassoed their legs on their first attempt.
They've got one.
Now,
you've got the second one, the second rope on. They're bringing the steer down to the ground, and he's going to jump on it. And that's our man, he's going to jump on it. That's so cool. Has to tie him up.
For the final push, two calves are tied. Jesse jumps off a moving horse and onto the last steer, taking it straight down to the ground. Now to finish, they just have to get the other two steers into the back of a truck.
He's grabbing it by the tail. He's got him in. You got it?
Hold him!
What are you doing? They're almost finished.
Well, unconventional order how you get the job done, but that's okay. Tied, loaded, doctored, ropes coming off. Leg drop.
1:37.
Good boys. Good work today. You're going to find yourself in the top 11 for now. 1:37.21.
Hey, great work.
Will that work?
That was fantastic.
Thanks.
That time? Awesome. Huh? Happy with that time?
Oh, yeah, that'll work. We'll be here tonight. Oh, playing. Like, yeah. Oh, sweet.
You are sweating buckets, man. Yeah.
Not a breath. I got serious for a little bit.
Good job. That was all you.
That was incredible, man.
Man, I was lucky.
The teams are made up of friends from similar ages or people who work together on a ranch. But these skills are also passed on from generation to generation. We meet regular competitor Sam Stoddard, who for the first time was competing with his son Caden as the Corn Creek Bandits. And they're up next.
Team number three fixing to make their way into the pen, knowing that they've got to be fast to make it back tonight. The Corn Creek Bandits.
So he said, all you got to do is have him down. Once he goes down, if he stands back up, he can still doctor him. He don't have to be down when he doctors him.
East and West, old man Sam, the captain of the Corn Creek Bandits. Flag goes up. Time to steal the show, boys.
This episode is brought to you by United Airlines. When you want to make the most of your vacation, book with United. They're an airline that cares about your travels as much as you do. United is transforming the flying experience with Bluetooth connectivity, screens, power at every seat, and bigger overhead bins to help fit everyone's bag. And with their app, you can skip the bag check line, get live updates, and more. Change the way you fly. Book your next trip today at united.com.
Team is on fire. Sam and Caden, after years of working together on their family ranch, ride in perfect unison.
Teamwork happening on both steers. Doctor, in comes the young pups.
Got him.
Quickly go to work. Capture him.
He'll help him.
Forget the horses, forget the ropes to the trailer. Here we go. Hot pursuit.
What a time! Fantastic. Serious.
All you
roping.
Had to do was in the
quick,
top 11
fast.
To come back tonight, but nobody told the Corn Creek Bandits they didn't have to go set the pace in a great way. 1:23.25.
Great work, boys. You didn't knock about. That was quick.
Thank you.
You must be happy with that time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm just happy to get to come and do this with these young boys. It's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or young men, I should say, not young boys. They're all young men and very proud of them. They're damn good hands.
Oh, fantastic. That was such so thrilling to watch.
Yeah.
You're still catching your breath back.
I am. I'm old. Yeah.
Sam climbs down from his horse and wraps Caden in a huge bear hug.
Oh, I'm so proud of him. All these boys, I mean, I grew up helping them and stuff, and I'm just so proud of all of them. And he'll take over the ranch someday. My great-grandfather moved there in 1924, so this will be the 100th year for us on our ranch. My grandpa had it, my dad had it, I have it now, and he'll have it next. So, yeah, it's pretty cool.
The ranch rodeo preliminaries are over. And our two teams placed, how's this, 4th and 1st. We know how to pick them. In our short time here at the Black Hills Stock Show and Rodeo, we've seen kids busting sheep, dogs showcasing their amazing skills, steers being wrangled, and sheep getting a very quick haircut. And we ended here with the riders and ranchers. And I'm riding the only thing I'm qualified to ride, a bar stool. All here in the best place in the world for rodeo, South Dakota.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining me. If you'd like to create your own South Dakota stories, you can find out how to do so by going to travelsouthdakota.com. You'll find lots of inspiration and ideas and everything else you need to know to plan your great South Dakota adventure. Thank you to everyone who featured on this episode. Sheepdog handler and dog lover Linda Lewis, sheep shearer Mike Poor and Lauren Obstadal, Creed, our fearless mutton buster, and the boys from Lakota Funds and the Corn Creek Bandits. If you enjoyed this one, stay tuned for our next episode where I retrace Laura Ingalls' steps in the real little town on the prairie. So hit that subscribe button and follow us wherever you get your shows. This series was produced by Armchair Productions, the audio experts for the travel industry. Find out more at armchair-productions.com. I'm Brian Thacker. I wrote and presented the show. Jason Patton recorded in the field, mixed and did the sound design. Aaron Miller is our executive producer. We'll see you back here soon.
What if you could poke, prod, and explore the mysteries of nature from wherever you are? I'm Nate Hedgie, host of Outside In, an award-winning podcast from New Hampshire Public Radio. We cover all kinds of topics related to our environment, with a healthy dose of goofing off, of course. Outside In isn't just a show for thru-hikers and conservationists. It's a podcast for anyone who's ready to embrace their curiosity about the natural world and have some fun doing it. Listen every Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an election year, so you've likely been thinking, why does it feel like American democracy is unraveling? It's the fault of our electoral system and its winner-take-all ideology. But what if it didn't have to be that way? I'm Colin Cole, one of the hosts of The Future of Our Former Democracy, where we address the question, is this centuries-old electoral system really the best we have in 2024? We look to Northern Ireland and explore how they reformed their political system to overcome deep divides and ensure more equitable representation. Each episode takes a closer look at what the U.S. could learn from Ireland's journey and what it could look like if the United States dismantled this polarizing system and replaced it with a more proportional one. Each episode examines why Northern Ireland's history can act as a blueprint for how we can overcome political divisions and achieve fairer representation. We'll take you on a sound-rich journey filled with historical insights, personal narratives, and expert interviews to challenge the idea of democracy and explore bold solutions for a more equitable future. So follow The Future of Our Former Democracy wherever you get your podcasts.